Blog Talk Radio.
This is Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you check us out on blogtalkradio.com. Get Deep and Keep It Real. You can also find us on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and of course on Twitter. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to hit us up on our Facebook account and on our Twitter account. So any comments or questions or any special requests for guests or show topics, please always feel free to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. And if you would like to call into the show, please do. Our number is 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Hello, this is Tiffany Camilla with Get Deep and Keep It Real. I hope you're enjoying the show today. Just wanted to let you know today is a pre-recorded show. So, unfortunately, no live calls, but you can hit me up by chat or on Facebook and Twitter. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. How are you today? I hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. Well, grab your pen. Grab some paper because I have a very informational, educational topic for you. I'm going to be talking with some very special ladies about a project called the Birthing Project. This is a national project, but it's locally based in New Orleans that helps women just get assistance from other women through their pregnancy. So grab your tea, sit back and relax, and join me for this wonderful conversation. I would like for you to know that this interview today is pre-recorded, so I can't take your live calls. I know, I miss talking to you. But what you can do, as always, hit me up on Facebook on Get Deep and Keep It Real, and on Twitter, and you can leave your comments and questions there, and we will be more than happy to get back with you. And also, there's always the email. That's getdeepandkeepitreal@gmail.com, all one word. So, without further ado, I would like to introduce or have my guests introduce themselves to Get Deep and Keep It Real. Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hey, Tiffany.
Hi.
Hello, Miss Tiffany.
Hi. I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We're really excited. So, could you introduce yourselves, please?
Yes, my name is Thea Bashful, and I'm the project director of Birthing Project New Orleans.
And I'm Shawnee Hunter, national program manager or director of Birthing Project USA.
All right. So, ladies, please explain to me what exactly is the Birthing Project, and who exactly is it for?
Okay, so Birthing Project USA was founded in 1988 by our beloved founder, Ms. Catherine Hall Trujillo, in Sacramento, California. And basically, it's—I like to say that it's one woman's way of impacting and civically engaging in her community by seeing how the infant mortality rate affected her community and affected her personally through her personal struggles as a young mom and then as a mother of the community, seeing young women having babies who were either underdeveloped and possibly bearing babies who were born and then died shortly thereafter or died while being given birth to. She decided that she would figure out how to impact that. And the way that she thought of doing that was by getting one woman to support another woman, and each woman thereon supporting another pregnant woman and so forth and so on. And that's how Birthing Project is born.
Okay, wow, interesting. Now, is this project, I said nationally based, but I wanted to verify. Is it national or is it just a couple of cities or
It's actually a global organization.
Okay.
We cover at least 20 or so states, and internationally, we are in 7 countries internationally. Some of them include Ethiopia, Uganda, Malawi. My brain is not working, so I am forgetting a few others. Thea may be able
Cuba,
to. Cuba.
Honduras.
Ghana.
All right.
Nigeria.
Yes, I think that's all. Thank
great.
You. Yes.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. So we're global. Our motto is from Mississippi. The full mission and motto is from Mississippi to Malawi,
right.
The Underground Railroad for New Life.
Yes.
So that kind of says it all.
Now, is this organization mainly geared to a specific economic class, or is it specifically for women of color, or what?
Because statistically, women of color have been affected, by the infant mortality rate. Then the simple answer is yes, because of how statistically the impact shows, but because of what the impact shows statistically, if that makes sense. However, we will take and help and provide resources to any woman who calls or asks or comes in for assistance. But statistically, it has been women of color who have needed the socioeconomic support, the educational support, the support of being civically engaged in their community, which all helps them to become more mindful of how to have a healthier baby.
Okay. So if someone was listening to this show in West Virginia or India, those are two places that statistically are also proven to have very high infant mortality rates. Is this a model or a project that if, those people in those kind of communities were interested, they could possibly contact?
Absolutely. The birthing project model can be replicated and has been replicated, over 20 different states and in 7 different countries. And so the model of having a sister friend being paired up with a little sister, and a little sister would be the pregnant woman, and a sister friend would be any woman in the community who is willing to give support to that other woman. That can be replicated, and we have a training, which Thea is very, very well trained in training sister friends for the New Orleans Birthing Project. We have a model, and we provide that particular training to each of the birthing project directors, and they in turn take that knowledge and train other sisters in the community who become volunteers. And so they manage those volunteers and teach them how to basically provide volunteer management for themselves, so that they are role models or just support systems for other women in the community.
So basically, all of the models basically have the same foundation, but depending on if I'm in LA, I might have that little LA flavor, whereas if I'm in rural North Carolina, I might have that little Southern flavor going on.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
It's like Thea. Thea is a New Orleans girl.
Yes.
So she would have the flavor that she has, and when we have a sister friend circle, that she brings her own flair and her own flavor, and then not just being from New Orleans, but her life experience, shows shows throughout the entire training.
Mm-hmm.
So she has her own way of training her certain sister circle. A person in Texas, where we have a birthing project in Fort Worth, Texas, they're going to have a different way. We have doulas who have birthing projects. We have midwives.
I'm going to stop you for a second and just ask you, what exactly is a doula? Because some of my listeners may or may not know.
That is such an excellent question.
What I know of a doula is that they support the mother in pre-labor.
Right.
I believe the difference between a doula and a midwife is the midwife can actually do the delivery. So she's got more medical education.
That's what I was going to ask next.
But the doula is really what we're doulas. I mean, we're helping women birth.
Right.
So we're a part of that pre, you know, before the crowning. We're getting their nutrition strong. We're getting their understanding of the resources in their community strong. So in that way, we are doulas.
Okay.
Perfect answer, yes.
Now, do you guys offer like medical assistance or advice and stuff like that? I mean, so if I'm a woman and I'm pregnant and I'm coming to be a part of your project, what does that look like? How does that happen?
Well, one, I would find out how far along you are in your pregnancy. I'd like to know your age. Again, we do help all mothers that are birthing. Our model is primarily younger women, though we don't turn any mothers away. So I just want to know, you know, your basic demographics and if you would like to be a part of the program. So just the mere fact that you being pregnant would qualify you. We tend not to offer services to people who are homeless chronically simply because we can't find them.
Okay.
If someone is a chronic drug user, that tends to feed into other and just other situations that just prevent us from finding and getting in contact with a woman. But in general, just being pregnant qualifies you, and being open to the service, being open to having someone support you and either find resources with you or give you resources or assist you in finding them. But it's really about the resources and allowing a woman to have to make the most educated decision she can make about her pre-labor experience, her labor experience, and post-labor experience.
Okay.
And to answer the other part of your question, no, we do not give medical advice.
So no medical advice is given.
That's actually in our training. It's that's one of the things that we do train our sister friends on. We do train them to remind the little sisters that whoever their medical advisor is, whether it be a regular practitioner, or if they have a spiritual healer, whatever they are doing, that we are not doctors. Even if I was a medically trained physician and I was volunteering as a sister friend, and my little sister had a doctor already or a physician that she was seeing, my advice to her would be check with your doctor on that medical question. I could give her advice as on how my birth went, you know, and how personally I feel, but I would still say, when was the last time you were with your doctor? Did you mention that pain to him? Well, when you go to her the next time, make sure that you do that. If it's still going on, why don't you go ahead and call your nurse or doctor now, you know, if it's emergent, but I do not give medical advice.
Okay. Any other particular, like, do's and don'ts, let's focus on the don'ts right now. Don'ts of if I'm a person coming to work as a sister, big sister.
Or sister friend?
Sister friend, yes.
Yeah, we've got basically three don'ts. One is medical advice.
Okay.
We don't enable our little sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So in a situation of an emergency, when it might be our first thought to move that pregnant young lady into our homes or just to rescue them, that's a no-no with us. We are definitely here to support. Yeah. We're definitely in relationship with our little sisters to allow them the space to discover what their power is and their agency, and then we support that power and agency. But we definitely don't do for, we do with.
Right.
Okay. So we're definitely supporters and assisters, and we help them manage their lives, but we don't do it for them.
Right. Awesome.
What was the third one? It was don't move them in, no medical advice, and there's a third no.
Don't move them in, no medical advice.
And we don't drive anybody without current insurance.
Okay. Exactly. Thank
you. Best be insured if you're going to provide transportation.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's really good. Now, as far as, so we kind of talked about what the little sisters look like.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of person are you looking for to be a sister friend?
That would be you.
Me?
Yay.
Great choice, Shawnee. I appreciate that help, support. We're looking for people who want to serve. I mean, this is a volunteer position. I think the magic of the Birthing Project is that it really is about the volunteers and the fact that so many volunteers have been recruited, enrolled, and have sustained their relationship with the Birthing Project over the years, because without volunteers, we can't help any little sisters. We can't get information to them without people, without hands and feet and mouths. So it has to be the heart of someone that wants to help others, that is concerned about babies of color having positive outcomes as they come into this world. And there are many that don't. And so I feel like a concerned person. And it really doesn't take that much time, to be honest.
So I mean, is this like a 2-hour commitment, 3, 4, 5? Is there a minimum or a maximum time?
I would say the minimum contractual, if there's such a thing, commitment would be a training for, 3, maybe 4 hours. And then after that, the sister friend is matched to a little sister, which would be a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. And the two of them make that relationship work. Mm-hmm. And it really is a lot of listening on the sister friend's part, and really helping that younger or little sister to be comfortable and sharing what her desires are. And as they get to know each other, the conversation usually starts to flow a lot better. And the little sister usually will open up and talk about things she maybe hasn't talked about with anybody, family, even old friends that she's had. But having this objective person tends to support positive outcomes and helps the little sister to be a lot more relaxed and comfortable about her taking agency with her birth and her post-birth plan.
So if I had the time and my little sister had the time, if we wanted to meet 2 or 3 times a week,
you could. If that works for you, absolutely.
Okay, but okay, let's say I'm super busy and I can only maybe meet once a week for an hour. Is that okay as well?
That's okay. We expect at least a minimum of once a week conversation between the little sister and the sister friend while she's pregnant. Okay. And then once the baby's delivered, of course, they're both going through a transition, so then it's about once a month. But what I find is by the time that baby is born, that relationship is in such a way that people are talking weekly anyway.
So, and how long usually is that commitment? Is it once you join the organization, you're committed to that person for the long haul?
You're committed until the child's a year old.
Okay.
And then you may want another little sister.
Okay.
You
and
might have two.
Can you say that one more time?
Of the commitments until the price. So once you're matched with your sister friend, that baby in her womb, when that baby becomes one, that little sister and her child graduate from our program.
Okay.
So the best setting is that those relationships never end.
Right. But what, I mean, what if I'm not a parent? What if I have like no clue? What if I've never been pregnant or had a child? Can I still do something like
that? You can. That means you would look like me. I've never had a child, and I came in as a volunteer sister friend and learned a lot from my little sister, and it really helped me with some of my angst around not having a child and not delivering a baby. So I just learned, and it was a healing process for me, and I was a support to her, and she has not fired me. Yay!
So, I guess some of the other things that I really want to educate the listeners on is just, I think we kind of discussed it at the beginning of why this project is so important, but I guess I want to reemphasize that point, and especially as it may relate to, we can maybe take it as it relates to New Orleans and then, you know, push it out to nationally and internationally, kind of just again why it's so important to have this project.
I could give you just a few statistics, and maybe that'll help.
Sure. And just whatever's from your heart as well.
Well, a little bit of information about the Birthing Project would be that since its inception, or since the creation of Birthing Project, the model has been replicated probably a total of, and I'm searching my brain, it's an exact total of 110 times.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've come on, we're attempting to build more birthing projects. And so hopefully, you know, by the end of the year, we'll have 120 replications that we'll be able to say that we've had. Over 13,000 babies have been born into Birthing Project.
Wow.
And I do not even know if that counts all of the international projects. We also have what's called the Safe Birth Kit project that's mainly for the international projects where in underdeveloped countries, they are not able, they don't have access to sterilized equipment. And so there is a company called, I want to say maybe it's called Aziz, I don't know, A-Z, Eyes. We'll say Eyes. I believe it's A-Z-Y-H. Correct, I may be wrong, but Eyes is how you pronounce it.
Okay.
And we work closely with that company. And in this lovely pouch.
I think I've heard of that company
yes.
now that you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
In this lovely, lovely pouch, enclosed in it would be sterilized gloves.
Yes,
right. Razor,
right.
The little thing you make the incision with.
Yes.
That
yes.
puts the scalpel.
Yes.
Thank you. And it comes, it's very, very, it also comes with directions now. So we've got extra, it's newly modeled.
Right.
Or newly restructured. So that it's so easy that even a 12-year-old could follow it.
Okay.
And so it's in all of the countries that we have birthing projects in.
Right. Right.
And so what happens is on if a person would like to donate to purchase a birth kit, it's only $5.
Oh wow! Okay.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cup of coffee.
Right, yes. Even those on budgets can afford that.
And the exactly. difference between life and death for
yes,
some women.
Definitely.
Exactly.
For many
so
women.
You can save a, so you can save a life by spending $5,
yeah.
or you can save five babies' lives,
right.
you know, by spending
$25.
Wow.
Right?
So that's A-Y-Z-H.
Yeah, and the mom. Yeah, A-Y-Z-H. Thank you, Eyes.
And what just Google it, you know, A-Y-Z-H.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to, I'm sure they have a website.
Uh-huh. And you can actually go to Birthing Project.
Hey, even better.
Yes, please. Go to birthingproject.org.
BirthingProjectUSA.org.
Thank you. BirthingProjectUSA.org. And actually donate to purchase a safe birth kit. And it will go to a mom to save her baby's life.
And her life.
And
awesome.
Her life.
That's
absolutely. So you're saving two lives.
Exactly.
For $5.
Exactly. Only $5.
Woo! Right. So, you
absolutely.
Know, we're often sitting here saying, you know, oh, that person in Ghana or Cuba, I can't help them. What can I do? Well, this is what you can do. $5. We spend that at a fast food restaurant, you know, whatever. $5.
Right.
That's just, even if you're on a strict budget, that's a dollar a month, basically. A dollar
right.
a month. Save up for a month, put a dollar away, and you can help save another woman's life and
exactly.
Her child as well.
Exactly.
So we have about a little less than 10 minutes left in the show. So in the last few minutes, let's just kind of talk about, I'm going to, you know, I always have 50 million questions. So I guess we've talked about in what direction we want the program is going in and where, what areas and such. We've talked a little bit about the little sisters and a little bit about the big sisters. I guess I want to maybe go back to those two people again and what they, I guess I'm feeling like as a sister friend, and I'm a part of this program. What if I get a little sister that maybe our ideas clash? You know, what happens?
Well, we would hope that you would call me.
Okay.
that's the first hope for support, because sometimes that does happen.
Okay.
And what else we offer in terms of we do manage volunteers, but we also offer leadership development.
Okay.
And so in that development, there's lots of different ways to deal with someone that it may appear that you're clashing, that you may have some values that they don't have, but then you may be having, you may have some values that they do share. So in terms of a woman making a plan for her life, we are not there to impose our values upon anyone. We're there to support. If, in fact, whatever this young woman is deciding for her life has somehow affected you in a way that you feel like you can't be effective with her, then we would look into either helping you two together to find ways to work, or we can get you another little sister and her another big sister or sister friend. But the issue is that we're supporting. So that we're not in competition. You know, if I say, for instance, I like doing green drinks. I know everyone doesn't. I really like to have a green drink in the morning. Now, if somebody's doing an orange soda in the morning, you know, I'm not pro that, but I'm not going to condemn them either. If it's to the place where I can't even be around someone that does some kind of purple or green drink in the morning, then that limits the women that I'll be able to support. And that's something important for me to know as a project director, that this super vegan or super green person really can only do with people that are open to that. And that's fine, too, because there's somebody for her. There's always going to be a little sister that a sister friend will be able to support, and vice versa.
Now, what about these people's families, or I hate to say these people, but the
our
women,
sisters.
The young women, our sisters, what about their families? How do they play a part in this particular program at all?
Yes.
Thea could probably expound on this a little bit more, but when we go in to visit with and do what we call an intake with a little sister or a pregnant woman, one of the first things that we like to do is visit with them possibly in the home or in their environment so that we can see where they live, what they do. And if they are in the home with a parent, with a grandparent, with an aunt and uncle, we would like to see what their family environment is.
Okay.
So if we can see that, it gives us a better idea on how to approach that little sister, on what questions to ask, if we need to go more in depth, if we may want to speak a little bit more with the grandparent or parent if they're around. If they are open to speaking with us, then that's great. And then it also gives us more insight on how we can better match them with a sister. We may already have someone in mind. Or, you know, we may be able to write, you know, a few more notes on help that they may need with a grandparent. If we will know if a parent smokes in the home. There is, you know, she writes on her paper that she does not smoke. She doesn't think about smoking. But the grandparent smokes or the parent smokes, then we still need to educate them on the dangers of that. So it's just many, many things. And so they can and do get involved. To the length that they get involved, they will probably know more than.
In terms of the family, I think it's up to the little sister.
Okay.
I think everything really hinges on her relationship with her family.
Right.
And that could be her perception of how her family sees her, or it could be real. And I think it just depends. I think, you know, different women get pregnant at different stages in their lives and are at different maturity levels in order to deal with what may not actually even be conflict, but it may appear to be conflict to them. So, I think it just depends. I just did an intake last week, and the when I called to set up the appointment, the aunt was just, like, jumped right in and started giving the little sister all these warnings while I was on the phone.
Okay.
Like, don't talk to strangers, and you can't listen to just anybody. And so I could tell, okay, this woman is very protective. So my first words out of my mouth when she got back on the phone was, I want to meet your aunt. Because that's her first line of defense. If I can't get past her, then we can't help her. And so she was there. I invited her to be a part of the intake, which she was. She definitely interjected, not too much, but definitely interjected, and was fine with me. Later found out, when that young lady ended up going to a parenting class, she didn't even tell me this, that she has had some threats from the baby's father.
Wow.
which explained why Auntie was so protective. Don't give out too much information because he's made threats about finding her and finding, you know, whatever. So it takes a community. I think that's really, you know, how I see it. So we don't want to eliminate any family members. We would like as much support as possible, you know, when it's possible.
Because I guess my other question that I'm sure a lot of my listeners would maybe want to know is, you know, do the fathers play any role in this birthing project situation?
Yes, they do. And we are so happy to have fathers that are interested, not just interested, I think more fathers are interested that than those that believe they have a place. And I think that sometimes things like not enough employment, maybe work, maybe they are employed but not making as much as they would like to make in order to support their families the way they would like to. I think some of those things are barriers. But we do have a program for men called the Barbershop. And when the father is interested, we like to hook him up with other men to talk about their experience as the young lady or woman is having the baby and how it affects them and ways that they can be involved, where they feel like men and understand that they are needed.
Absolutely. And they actually meet, just like we have, just like Thea has a, there is a parent leadership program also, and the moms and parents, we invite other parents to meet twice a month.
And dads are invited to that as well.
Dads are invited to that, but then they have their own separate thing, which is called the barbershop, and they meet
Wednesday.
Every Wednesday?
Yeah, every Wednesday at Ashe.
At Ashe.
Okay.
And so, and that is a man only because we know that men are men and men like to do their thing as men do by themselves.
Yes, we respect that. We want them to do their thing with each other.
Yes, we want them to do their thing as long as they get it done.
Right.
And it's also a way for them to network and learn how to support us.
Right.
Because that's what we would love for them to learn how to do. So however they need to do it, we want them to get it done.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's we're about to wrap up the show now. And in the last minute or two, I would like the ladies to, number one, give out information on how you, my listeners, can contact them, and just some parting shots.
This is Shawnee. Again, speaking from the national and global side, I'd like to first say thank you to Thea for coming on board. I, as the National Program Manager, one of my jobs is to provide technical support to the local programs, and so each local program would be any national program in the state. So of course I don't get the opportunity to work very much with any of the international programs except over the phone and when we have conferences and things like that, but being that our national office for Birthing Project USA is now in New Orleans. I like to say that also. That means that I get to work hand in hand with Thea and get to provide her with the technical support and get to kind of do a standalone training so that when I go to other states and go to visit with other project directors, I have like the greatest opportunity to share with them the things that Thea and I are doing here. So I'm very, very blessed to be able to do that. Very, very blessed to have the team that we have here. We have a new team. We have an associate director here for Birthing Project USA, Miss Felicia Beckett, who we love and adore.
And Felicia, Miss Felicia was on my show last week, so if you didn't catch it, go back to last week's show and check that out.
We have a wonderful executive director, Dr. Joya Carey, who is a big part of the New Orleans community here. And we also have, of course, our beloved founder. First we have our lovely interns. We have a big group of interns.
Yeah.
So we'll just collectively say that we have a great group of interns. We've got Jamie, we've got Melody, we've got Dr. Faisal, who works with the barbershop program. Okay. So we've got our big group of interns.
Carmen.
And we've got Carmen.
Kayla.
We've got Miss Olivia, we've got Kayla. Woo-hoo. So they're all great. And then we have our, again, our beloved founder, Mama Cat, who's been doing this now for 26 years.
Wow, 26 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she's been doing this for 26 years, and she has finally decided that she will retire, which means a lot, but really means absolutely nothing.
Because she's feisty like
she
that.
She is very, very feisty.
Okay.
And she is carrying on the torch.
Yes.
And she is taking her mission and her love for children and for women all over the world.
Awesome.
And so she's doing big things everywhere, including here in New Orleans. Mm-hmm.
Christy.
And, oh, yes, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And we have a project, an associate director for the New Orleans project.
Okay.
Sure.
She is the associate director for the New Orleans project. And her name is Christy Ross.
Yeah.
Okay. Yay. And so she rounds out our team.
Okay.
That's the last person.
Yeah. Okay.
And so the very next thing that's on our roster for Birthing Project USA is a conference.
All right.
Which will be held in New Orleans to celebrate that we have a new location.
All right.
And that's going to be held in October. It's October 17th, 18th, 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for allowing me to announce that.
No problem. I'm glad to be the first one. All right.
And I'd like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on.
My pleasure.
I'm tired as I am. Thank you so much.
You've done a wonderful job.
Thank you for sticking with me
through the whole interview.
You.
It's been awesome. And would you like to give some last words, Ms. Thea?
Oh, yes, please. Contact me, Thea Bashful, at nola.birthingproject@gmail.com.
Yep.
That's my email. And, you can always call us. If you're interested in being a part of our program, if you're pregnant, you would call 504-482-6388.
Mm-hmm.
You'd also call that number if you'd like to be a sister friend, like the wonderful Tiff Cam.
Yes.
Our wonderful
DJ, our radio hostess with the mostest.
Thank you.
So, yes, please service our young women, our communities.
And donate.
Yes.
If anyone would like to make a donation, please go online. I know the national, as we kind of have the national and the local, which are separate as well. So, sometimes I get that mixed up in my head. However, if you would like to donate, birthingprojectusa.org. Also, if you would like to become a birthing project yourself, even if you are visiting New Orleans but live somewhere else, if you are on the West Bank and want to have a West Bank birthing project, call us. We need one.
New Orleans East birthing project.
Call us. We need one.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right.
And so for further information, you can visit the Get Deep and Keep It Real Facebook page. And the information will be there attached to this particular audio for this show. So, without any further ado, I'm going to end the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Virgin Project.
Tweet us. Rainbow babies.
Okay.
Yes, tweet us at Rainbow Babies, right?
Just check out the website, and I'll make sure the tweet information and all of that
Absolutely.
Is on there.
Thank you.
Oh, if they Google it, can they maybe find it?
They can Google it at Birthing Project.
Okay.
We're simply Birthing Project.
Okay.
On Twitter.
All right. Sounds good. You've been listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you learned a lot. And as always, we got deep, yet we kept it real. So make sure you check me out on Facebook and on Twitter, or and email me if you need to at getdeepandkeepitreal@gmail.com. And make sure you join me next week. Next week I will have a young lady from California who's going to be talking about fibroids and her documentary that she's working on concerning fibroids and women of color. And then the week after that, cross your fingers, I'm going to have a young lady who has her own organization that's talking and fighting for infertility rights for women. So we can just kind of call August like fertility and women's month.
Okay?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why
absolutely.
Not?
Sounds good.
Make sure you join me next week, same time, same place. Get deep and keep it real. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real today. I hope you enjoyed that pre-recorded show. It was very educational and informative. And please don't forget, if you have any questions or comments, please hit us up at Get Deep and Keep It Real on Facebook and on Twitter as well. And if you have any extended comments, feel free to email us at getdeepandkeepitreal@gmail.com. And I just wanted to give you an update for next week's show. Actually, we're going to be having two shows. Yes, y'all are keeping me busy, but there's just so much going on that I have to get the information out. So on Monday, August the 11th, join Get Deep and Keep It Real, and I'm going to be talking with a group of ladies who are suffering from infertility. So we're going to have a roundtable discussion about a virtually unknown problem in America, and that's infertility. It's just something that's really not discussed, and people don't realize how much of a problem that it really is and how much things people have to go through and how much money people have to spend in regards to infertility. So make sure you join me for that show on Monday. And then on Wednesday, I'll be having a show with the young lady who's going to be talking about fibroids, because this is a medical condition that affects millions and millions of women, and it's another problem that doesn't get much time in the news or airplay or just anywhere. And it's really affecting so many women, and especially women of color. And that is a barrier to fertility. It causes weight gain. It's very painful. And it's just not a good thing. So make sure you join me on Wednesday. I'm sorry, I can't remember the date on that. Let's see here. Next Wednesday is the 12th. Yeah, sorry about that. So, I'm sorry, the 13th. So join me August the 13th as we talk about fibroids. So, yes, two shows for you next week. Monday, August the 11th, we're talking about infertility. And then on August the 13th, we're going to be discussing fibroids. Babies to infertility to fibroids. We're keeping it real here, y'all. We're getting deep. We're keeping it real. But I really want to educate you and keep you in the know as to what's going on in our communities, our bodies, and what's going on with your friends. So make sure you listen. Get deep and keep it real. Peace.